how fragmentation in our body and our community are so interconnected, and how during these times of this pandemic, it has really come to bear fruit. Not a beautiful fruit. And how it's come to bear fruit that can harm, can violate, and can cause disproportionate harm to Black and brown bodies. Yesterday when the CTC met to share about today's practice, there was a plan for something else to share about now. And then this morning there was an article on the front page of the Baltimore Sun that spoke to the not only the disproportionate way that the pandemic is affecting low-income and Black and brown bodies. It spoke to the one of the causes that it's that this effect that is causing this effect. Of course, we know that the history and the legacy of enslavement and disproportionate resources to Black bodies and Black communities in all the systems of education, housing, recreation, health. Has resulted in our communities being not prepared, having health and income and wealth disparities, housing disparities. And so, of course, anything that affects anything, a hurricane, a pandemic, anything that happens, a depression, an economic depression, will have a greater impact on communities that are already disproportionately marginalized or suffering in any one of those categories, on all of them. What was of interest in the article this morning was how another legacy of this history is the way that marginalized communities have insulated themselves because of having to find a social network, a social cohesion amongst themselves in order to survive. And so what does that mean practically? That means that when communities are put aside, segregated, and not provided similar and equal access to resources as more over-resourced communities, like white communities, middle class, rich communities, that communities that have been marginalized, they establish their own culture for survival. So there's this inward looking and an inward set of norms and idioms and ways of being that develops. And there's a real fragmentation from the larger society. So it's not just that there's a group of people living in one area by themselves. There's a whole culture that develops that's taken on its own life and a belief system. And so one of those belief systems is that this coronavirus doesn't affect Black people, only white people. And so this isn't just in Baltimore, but the piece in the Baltimore Sun, for the few times that they actually are more truthful, I have to say this was one of them. It spoke to the lack of trust and the difficulty officials are having in convincing folks in our zip codes that are primarily African American and primarily low income, the difficulty they're having with communities absorbing the message of social distancing, of not hanging out on the corners, of wearing masks, of believing that they are vulnerable to the to the virus. And the response from communities that it doesn't, it's not coming to the hood, it doesn't come here, this isn't going to affect us. This affects white people only. And the lack of trust when they're hearing the people who usually put these messages out. Again, a group of people who many in marginalized communities have come to distrust, have come to believe that those messages are for them, not for us, not for Black people, not for brown people, not for low-income people. And certainly not for communities that have generationally been left by themselves to figure out how to survive in their own underground economy. And so now when a pandemic comes that affects everyone, it's difficult for our health officials to share this very important information. And so this legacy, it's not just a legacy that's social in impact, resulting in death. It's a legacy of how our bodies have fragmented, how Reverend Ertlin Zen Jumanuel, African-American Zen priest, priestess has said that even if we house every single Black body, we have still been so impacted by displacement and segregation that we will still continue to see each other and not trust each other, even in our own communities. We don't know each other anymore. So this, what really struck me from the piece when I read it was that the paper got it around this pandemic and the lack of trust between Black and white communities. What it didn't get is the depth of that fragmentation within the individual body and heart and soul, how deep that is, that even within our communities, we don't trust each other. Not, I wouldn't expect necessarily the Baltimore Sun to go there. But I expect us to go there because we are practitioners of the Dharma, because we are practitioners on a path of love and justice. And this is what it requires. It requires us to, in this moment of time when we are on a point of pivot, to dig deep, to take the headlines and to reinterpret it with the Dharma, the lens of Dharma, and to decide how we are going to act responsible in this moment for all our sisters and brothers who are being disproportionately impacted by this pandemic. This is our responsibility. And so the responsibility is for us to understand this legacy of fragmentation in our communities and its impact now, and to go deeper and understand that there is so much that we must do in order to address this fragmentation, this disconnect of our own cells in our own body, the fear and the non-fear that was in our meditation. How do we start to recognize our areas of ease and our areas of tension and invite those to come together, to connect, to reconnect in ourselves? Because what happens inside happens outside, and what happens outside happens inside. And because we live in a society that is so fragmented and so disconnected and so individualistic, it's a society we've built our own selves from a mind and a heart that has seen fit to build such a society, to legacy that. So this is our legacy, everyone's legacy. And so this is this opportunity to take what we're seeing and hearing and reporting in the media and to let it help us to understand that not only do we work outside socially in addressing the wrongs of segregation and a systematic racism that has invited our communities to always be at most risk. It's an invitation for us to turn inward and heal this very body, so that what comes out of us, the lens of awareness that we have, we can understand why a healed body is and heart and mind is so important to ending this legacy of racism and all its effects that are more obvious now during something like a pandemic. And as we know, the effect is always there. The pandemic has raised awareness. It's brought it up in numbers. And so this is one of the pivot points. This is one of the paths. The pandemic is a point on our path of liberation to help us see more clearly what freedom and liberation for everyone must mean. We start inside. And as we change and as we reconnect and as we become whole and present and grounded, this is the energy that everything we touch, everything we see, everything we think, this is the energy now that takes care of that. And coming out of that energy, we can start to understand better. Why is it that a white policeman coughs on a black woman in a public housing complex, and her response is, "It doesn't matter. That doesn't affect us." And that happened in Baltimore, in East Baltimore. And so we have practice. This is why we practice. Every day we take care of these things. And now we have raised the decibel of the sound of what must be done. So the Dharma is there for us. The Dharma is present for us. How do we continuously, within the Dharma and the lens of the Dharma, how do we continuously take care of ourselves? Bring together what's inside of us in a way that's whole and loving and hopeful and non-fear. And bring awareness to that, to take care of the fear and the hopelessness, because they're both there. But the bringing together of it, the reconnecting of the cells, is really what our practice is about. It's saying, I know we're all there together, and I'm going to reconnect this, and I'm going to be fully present, so that when I step out and I see the difficulties, I can also be fully present with it. And I can find the points of resistance and resilience and love and love and justice that can take care of it. Thank you, Sangha, for your deep listening and your practice.